Today I want to talk about a message. The title is Rest for the Weary, and I want to speak of from Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 to 29. And I hope that this message encourages you as a Christian, and if you haven't come to the gospel, you haven't known Jesus Christ, that you would also come to Jesus Christ as well. So before we begin, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank and praise thee for how thou hast saved us, how thou hast given us the gift of eternal life, and how thou hast even given us rest for our weary souls. And Lord, just pray that thou hast illuminate our hearts this time with thy word. In Jesus' name, give thanks and pray. Amen. So how many of you woke up this morning with, you found out that your back isn't working as well as last time? Yeah, but I feel like I'm growing old. I'm not that old, but I feel like I'm growing old. And I feel that sometimes when I walk around and I feel like my legs are not as good as before. And yeah, so I do not know whether it happens for you. It might happen, right? You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and then that happens to you. Yeah, so I want you to think of these occasions in your life. And when you think of these occasions, the first person that I think about and the first thing I think about is usually this verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. And I just want to pick out three things from these two verses here. And so the first thing I want to pick out, if you look at verse 28, and if you were to read this with me again, we can read this together. Ready, go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the first thing that is important here is the word come. So the Bible says, and Jesus Christ says, come. You can come to him. And he asks you to come to him. He's knocking at your door. That's the first thing that it says here. And then if you go on to the second thing, it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So it refers to every person, all, and that includes you as well. You who are heavy laden. You who wake up in the morning and then you find that your back is a bit painful. Right? It includes you as well. And after that, the third thing, what does it say? It says, I will give you rest. Jesus Christ himself will give you rest. And these are the three things I want to speak about today. And so I want to speak about these three things with a story. And this story is actually from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And you don't have to turn there. It's a very simple story that I want to recall to you. So if you go to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, in this story itself, it speaks about a prodigal son. And so what happens in this story is that if you go to verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So what happens is that a father had two sons. One son said, can you give me your inheritance now? And then verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And what happened is that he took his father's inheritance, and then he went to a far country, wasting his life away, wasting all the money away. And then what happens after that? And after he had spent all the money there, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. When the famine came, he realized he has no money left. He needs food. He needs to survive. And then what happens next? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And so we see that this young man, who was one of the young masters of his father's house, having servants in the house to serve him, he was now degraded to someone who is feeding swine. What a difference from what happened in the past. And in verse 16 it says, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was so hungry that he would even eat of that husk. And then verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough then to spare, and I perish with hunger. My father's house has so many things. And then he starts to regret. Why did I leave my father's house? Why did I not go back to him when he has all these things for me? And so in verse 18, he makes a decision. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And then when he actually went there, what happened next? Instead of the father rebuking him, the father didn't scold him. The father didn't say, you young master, young son, you took the money, you wasted it all, and then you dare to come back to me. He didn't say that. What he said is lovingly, right? He said, When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. His father had compassion. His father ran, his father fell on his neck and kissed him. And that was the reaction of the father to him. And this is the same reaction we see in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, when God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this is the same thing. We today, we sometimes have sin in our lives. We have things in our life we're not very proud of. And we feel short of God's glory. We think about God and we think that, how can I match up to God's glory today? How can I match up to what he has done for me? But then what does God say? God says that, you are still my son. You are still my daughter. No matter what you have done, no matter how much of this life before you have wasted away, I will receive you now. I will say, come, come unto me. I know that you have labored and you are heavy laden. Similar to how the prodigal son did. He wasted his life away and yet he also had to feed the swine. He spent a lot of labor feeding the swine. And you today, you might have been very heavy laden. Apart from just waking up with a backache, right? There are many things in our lives that make us heavy laden. We have problems in our family. We have problems with our spouses. We have also problems with our friends. And these are just problems between people. We have issues about money as well. Sometimes we think that, what if I don't have enough for the next day? Sometimes we think to ourselves, even looking at social media, when a person posts on Instagram, on Facebook, and shows that I actually have this thing, and then we want it, we feel the jealousy. And then we ask ourselves, we are heavy laden by these things in our lives. And God says, you that are heavy laden with these things, you that have all your problems, it's okay. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And what is the rest that we see in the story of the prodigal son? If we go to verse 21, he cries out, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. So the father not only ran and had compassion on him, he said, I'm going to take the best robe that I have, the best thing in the house, and robe you with it. And I'm going to put a ring on your hand, signifying that you are to be the young master of the house again. And also putting shoes on his feet. And then he says in verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And this is God's reaction when he actually sees you. When God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, he doesn't just give you his pittance. He just doesn't give you only a little. He gives you the best robe. He gives you everything he has. And what is the everything that he has today? It is God's word. And this is everything he has because in the Bible it says that you can cast all your care on him because he cares on you, cares for you. And this is the best because today I may have certain problems in my life. Today I might even face certain illnesses in our mind. Right, nowadays mental illness is a very important thing nowadays. And nobody can help you with it. You can see the doctor, they can give you some medicine, but nobody can help you with it. But what does the Bible and what does God's word can do? It can give you peace in your heart. And this is the peace that can help you with this. No medicine can help you with it. Only God's word can. And this is the fatted calf. This is his yoke that is easy upon you. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 11, in verse 29, it says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And in verse 29, it's very interesting because why does God say that if I help you take off your burdens, then I put another yoke upon you? It doesn't make any sense, right? So it's like I imagine I ask you and I say that, I'm going to help you carry your bag. And then I give you another bag in return. And then you're like, why? Are you not trying to help me? You know, this is what it seems as if, like, God is saying that I'm going to take away and give you rest, right? But then I'm going to put another yoke upon you. So what does this really mean here? So if you look at a yoke, right? Yoke has two things. And the second definition in the dictionary is very interesting because you see that I'd see this a lot in Vietnam. I never really seen this in Philippines, actually. So in Vietnam, you see that there is usually a auntie that carries a long pole, right? And the long pole It carries like one basket of maybe corn, another basket of maize. And then she balances it and she carries and walks around with it. Yeah, very cute. And it's something which eventually, what does it do? It seems like that stick and that pole is a yoke. It seems like an additional thing that they don't have to carry. But what happens with that additional pole? He can carry two things instead of one. So that's what it means by the yoke here. So Christ says that when I put my yoke upon you, it is not an additional thing that you carry, but instead it's something to help you carry more. That is what God says when he says a yoke upon you. And the other thing that's interesting about this yoke is that you must see in the word that the word says, take my yoke. It says my. And the word my is very interesting because Jesus Christ doesn't give you a yoke that's from departmental store. He doesn't just give you a yoke and say, this is S, this is M, and this is L. Okay, I'm just going to give you because of your body size. He doesn't say that. He gives you a yoke that's specially tailored to you. And this is important because I'm not sure how many of you grew up in a farming community, but if you have ox, right, and you have the two oxen trying to drive and till the ground, the yoke that's upon them, it's a special yoke. It's a yoke that's fitted for both the small and the large ox. Because if it's a yoke that is only for one size of ox, the large ox will be pulling more than a small ox. Right? So when that happens, it is not efficient yoke. But yet, the Bible here shows that it is a specially carved yoke for you. And it is as if that you are the small yoke today, and God crafts that yoke for you, and he is the one that's helping you through this entire thing. And I just want to bring you to this point here, which is that Jesus here is the only solution. Jesus here is that yoke for our lives. He is the one that will take away your burden. When he gives you his yoke itself, you can pull more things because he's the one that carries it for you. And when that happens, I want you to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And this is a verse that really encourages my heart. When I find that I'm heavy laden, when I find that I do not have strength in my life, this is a verse which I remember. And if we can have it on the screen, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Okay, let's read these two verses together. Verse 5, ready, go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And this is a verse I tend to remember because sometimes God gives you a yoke that you do not think is good for you. He might give you a certain path in life, and you ask him, why God, why do you not allow me to do this in my life? Why God, why did I not do this and I regret my decisions? Why do you put me in this stage in life? Why is my family like that? And you ask why to many things in life. We all do at night when we are on our beds. And these are questions we ask ourselves. And then this verse comes to my mind because God says that when my yoke is upon you, you might not understand it. You might not know why I put a yoke upon you. But all you need to do is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So when that happens, when you trust in the Lord, you can go through life. You can carry God's yoke with you. And you know that even if he brings you through a time where it may seem extremely something which is you don't feel that is good for you, you can go through it knowing that God is the one that intended for you to go there. Because all you need to do is to trust him. Trust that when he brings you through these heavy labors in your life, he will also bring you out of it eventually. And we need to think of this yoke as something in our lives which helps us as well. Because there are two types of yokes that we can put on lives today. The first yoke is the yoke of Christ that helps us and makes us free. But there's a second yoke that we always put on. And this is something which we tend to put on a lot of times in life. And this yoke is a yoke of sin. It's a yoke of sin. And how does the yoke of sin work? The yoke of sin is very easy. it tells you that sin is very pleasurable. Sin is not going to have a burden. If you do this, there is no consequence. And the yoke of sin seems very light at the start. It's like, you know, I just cast away my things, I do whatever I want. It might seem very, very light. But the more you go through it, the more you realize that you feel so guilty in your heart. Your conscience pricks you. And then you ask yourself, is this who I really want to be? Is this what God has called me to be even? And when that happens, that is when you have the yoke of sin in your life. And what does God say again? These are your heavy labors, and this is your heavy ladenness. And he asks you to cast it on him, and yet take on a yoke of his, which is free. And today you might ask yourselves, why do I want to take on the Bible as a yoke? I've shown that, like, when you have the Bible, you have peace in your heart, right? But the thing is that we need to think and we need to know that it is not easy to be a Christian. There is a certain yoke to this as well. But the Bible promises us, as in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that as long as you trust in him, he will bring you through this. So although at times you might find that, you know, as a Christian, there are certain things I cannot do. I must go to church every Sunday. I cannot do certain things in my life. But these things might seem on the surface very good. Like, it's like, it seems on the surface very bad. I mean, it seems as if like I need to do so many things in my life in order to be a Christian. But when you actually go through this, you realize that when I have discipline in my life to read God's word, when I have this ability to trust in God, I have true freedom. I have true freedom because I not only have the peace of God in my heart, but I know that from now until I die, nothing is going to happen to me except God says so. And that's a very powerful statement. Can you say in your life today that I'm immortal until I die? Can you really say that? Because a Christian can say that. A Christian who has taken on the yoke of God can say that I'm immortal until I die because I live forever in heaven. And even if I were to die today, I go to heaven and I have eternal rest. I have true rest. So taking on the yoke of going to church every Sunday, it seems very heavy compared to, you know, going to the beach, a yoke of going to the beach and going to parties, having fun. It might seem very heavy, but the true rest is there. True rest in this life, in a peace in your heart, and true rest in eternal rest to come, knowing that you're going to have heaven. And what is the third rest? The third rest is knowing that because you have heaven to come and you have peace in your heart, nothing in this world can ever take away your peace. And that is something which no person can ever give. Only God can give it. And when God says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, that is what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to give you rest in your peace in your heart today. I'm going to give you eternal rest in heaven forevermore. And I'm going to give you that assurance that in your life you have nothing to fear because I am with you. And that is the peace and the rest that God is giving to us today. And I just want to end with a story. So I gave you a story from the Bible just now. And then I'm going to give you a story from a bit from Philippines, actually. Yeah. So I read up a bit on the Philippines. I'm not sure whether it's... you can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So I like history quite a lot. So I just watched a historical film about Philippines. And there was one young general. His name is Gregorio Del Pilar. Okay, so I think I'm on the right track. Yeah, so there's this young general called Gregorio Del Pilar, and I find him very interesting because he is like the Caesar and like the Alexander Great of Philippines. He's like a Napoleon, right? He is a very young general, hailed as a national hero in the Philippines, and he died at a young age of 24 after being made general at a young age of 22. And I see when I was watching the movie, I saw that this was very similar in The Prodigal Son as well. Because what do we find? We find that this young general, he was very talented. He had many gifts. And he was gifted in poetry. It was said that he was the Byron of Bulacan. Yeah, I haven't been to Bulacan, but I think I know where it is. Yeah, and he had everything, right? And he was also said to be so handsome that all the girls would fall for him. Yeah, it's written. Yeah, and it seemed as if he was so secure. He has everything in this world, right? And It was as if he had all the world at his feet. When he led wars, he won them. And it seems as if like he had everything. But the director of this film made a very interesting observation, because in the film itself, the director showcased and showed that beyond that self-satisfaction, that surface of bravery and courage, what do we find in General Goyo? We find this doubt, this fear. And you see this in him, because he is only a young boy actually, only 24. And at his core, what we see that General Goyo actually struggled with is that he struggled with this question: should I be responsible, or should I do things on impulse? And he knows what he needs to do, but he does what he wants to do. And that is us today, right? We struggle with this as well. We know we need to be responsible for our lives, but we do so many things on impulse. We know that we are not here only for a moment. We know that we are here for eternity. But yet, we don't think about it. We only think about the now. We only think about, how can I earn more money today? How can I have provide for my family today? And I don't think about my lives. And sometimes we know what we need to do. We know we need to do this. We know we need to get our lives right with God. But we do what we want to do. We just do anything that we want to do. And we also see that in wartime, instead of fighting, what do? He went for a lot of social functions, flirted with girls. And it is very similar to the prodigal son. And today, we need to choose as well. You need to choose between these decisions. Do you choose to be a child of God? Or do you choose not to be a child of God? Do you choose eternity in heaven? Or do you choose eternity without God? And eternity without God is a very sad place. Because eternity without God has no three of these rests. It doesn't have rest. You won't have rest today. You have no peace in your heart. You have no rest in heaven. You have no hope of eternal rest. And you have no assurance knowing where you're going in life. And that is a very sad state. And today, I want you to come. I want you to come and realize that I need Jesus Christ in my life. And God says in his word, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So why not you come today and believe in Jesus Christ? Don't choose to be like General Goyo. I'm not sure whether General Goyo became a Christian at the end of the day, but what is the point of life if I am remembered as a national hero, but yet God doesn't know my name? What is more important in life? That the people of Philippines know my name, or that God knows my name? You need to choose for yourself today. Do I make a name for myself in this world, or do I make a name for myself in God? And I hope you choose God at the end of the day, because God is the one that gives you the rest. God is the one, and if he remembers you, there is nothing in life that you need to fear. When you go through the labors, when you go through all your heavy ladenness, you can say, "I trust in God with all my heart. And I know that he will take all my care from me, and I will have true rest." So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just pray and ask thee for thy strength. And we ask that, Lord, you would help us to answer the call of salvation. Lord, you know you are knocking on our gate and knocking on our door's heart. And we just pray that you would help us not to resist it, but that, Lord, you will open the door and let you come inside. And Lord, even so, for those who are Christian, we just pray that thou wouldst even bring us back to the first love. Help us to know that indeed there's nothing in life that we need to fear, even though we might be having a lot of labor in our heart, having a lot of problems in our lives. But help us to acknowledge that you are the one who is beyond all things. That you can help us and you can give us true rest in you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask everyone to pray as well. And there is this part of salvation which is important to me, and this is something which is the reason for this gospel meeting, which is that today, if God is knocking on your heart, will you answer? And there are only three things that you need to do to get saved. Now, God doesn't say that in his word just now, it doesn't say that, you know, you need to climb the mountain and then I'll give you rest. God doesn't say that. God says that you just need to come unto me and I will give you rest. So you just need to do an A, which is acknowledge that you are a sinner. And then B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior. And then C, which is confess with your mouth and your lips. And with these three things, today you can be saved. And if not right now, you know, you can say it in your mind, and or you can also say it at home later. But do not delay, because you never know what might happen in life. You never know if you step out of Lucky Plaza and then something happens to you. We all do not know what happens in life. And today is a time where you need God today. So I just want to ask everyone to pray with me and repeat after me. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,
we know
that we are sinners,
that we
do not deserve
your salvation.
But we acknowledge
that we are sinners
and we need you
in our lives
to save us from our sins.
We believe
that you are our Lord and Savior,
that you came to earth
to die for our sins
so that we might have eternal life.
And with this, we confess with our mouth and lips
that you are our God and you are our Savior.
Lord Jesus,
come into our hearts, we pray.
In Jesus' name we give thanks
and pray. Amen.